The job I have to do, I must remind myself because I might forget to do this later, is, you see this? You know what this is for? It's for buying one of these. Self-published requires your support. Please do it. That's one of my roles. Anyway, I think you'd agree that if you're going to write a book or tell a story, it's important to begin well. It sets the tone, it invites the reader or the listener in. It signals or it suggests what is to follow. This is how Fiona Whelan begins her book, her critical memoir, which we're celebrating tonight. In a small room at the top of a community centre in the south inner city of Dublin, I have spent many days in a stream of meetings with a group of people I know well. Complex subjects are explored and unpacked, diverse perspectives shared, and varying positions challenged. For a decade, my practice as an artist and theirs as youth workers have overlapped and intertwined across discipline and sector, accumulating much new collaborative knowledge that now feeds our collective work. I know, as I sit there, that this is special, that something interesting is happening. Well, one thing is for sure, and I have read the book, all 244 pages of it, in the lines of the book and between the lines, something interesting, something special is always happening. By virtue of her multiple intelligences as a reflective practitioner, Fiona Whelan is at once participant in, observer of, and spokesperson for all those special and interesting things as they accumulate over a decade. Before I go any further, I need to do what the memoir itself does and acknowledge the person to whom the book is dedicated. Fiona, I know, who will speak shortly, has a long list of people to thank. All I will say at this point is that this memoir, which describes 10 years of dedicated practice, and which is indeed a product of exceptional dedication, must itself employ the term dedication with particular care. And it does. It is no accident, no surprise, no act of hyperbole, no sentimental gesture that the dedication on this book says simply, for Jim Lawler. It's clear from early on that the intention of this book is to be focused, clear-sighted, and particular. But because it is so rooted in experiences that are at the crossroads of the personal and the political, its implications are far-reaching. Though the land of the territory explored is Rialto, its airspace is universal. In this, the inkwash illustrations that grace the book help it to breathe when it risks being breathless. They're wonderfully apt, being at once representative of the particular and the identifiable, as well as suggestive of the universal. Territory, physical, cultural, and political, is at the heart of the concerns of this book. Days after I finished reading it, I'm still reflecting on many aspects of its exploration of power relations, and on the observations on this subject, which are at once simple and profound. Consider this, for example. Referring to a particular incident, Fiona reflects, that moment shifted the group dynamic beyond the triangle of youth workers, artists, and young people, becoming less about our predetermined roles and positions, and more about the potential of working with our shared interests. Here and elsewhere in the book, the primacy of status is interrogated, and potential, which is often obscured and sometimes obliterated by power relations, is asserted. The durational nature of the work, which takes place over a decade, the diligence of the note-taking and documentation, the insightful nature of the reflection, the openness to learning, the light touch but deft handling of the theoretical frameworks, and the lucid and compelling qualities of the writing all assist the book in examining, challenging, and sometimes subverting many assumptions or lazy thinking about art, about youth work, about community development. There is no lazy thinking in this book. Everything is considered and carefully weighed in the finely balanced scales which derive from the fair-mindedness of the author and from the ethnic, ethical and egalitarian impulses at the heart of the Rialto Youth Project. Fiona is not agitational, but she is a truth-teller. And from the beginning, and in a way that justifies the use of the word memoir, she writes with emotional honesty. This openness mirrors the honesty of the encounters and the relationships that are at the heart of her work as an artist. There is no gush, but there is affectionate recall of her childhood and her family life. There is no grandstanding, but there is clarity and conviction about her negotiations. Her letter to Chief Superintendent Toomey is masterful, and it is no surprise that it elicits the response it does. There is no polemic, but there is a slow accumulation of felt experience and lived professionalism that allows her, and this is a remarkable combination, to be both trenchant and low-key in her analysis of the shortcomings of policy and strategy and provision of so many public agencies, including the one I work for, the Arts Council. In many ways, the last section of the book, where she reflects on the nature and tradition and fixed positions of so many agencies, is like a letter to all such agencies, equivalent to that to the Chief Superintendent, where she expresses anger and disappointment, but also suggests a way forward. What the memoir form facilitates is a deep reflection on a long experience. But it escapes being a retrospective construct because it's rooted in notes, diaries, photographs that were taken and sent at the time. So there's a sense of real-time experience as well as subsequent filtering for significance and meaning. The journals, the notes, the letters, the emails, the conversations bring other voices into the story, and they give the book an immediacy and energy. As a reader, you find yourself at times turning the page to find out what happens next, because you become absorbed by the narrative and the characters, their plans, their hopes, their disappointments, and their achievements. The book is full of emotional colour. Fiona's worry, her fear, anxiety, panic, she uses all of those words and more than once, are given expression, just as much as the seriousness with which the work is treated, talked about, and represented. One of the achievements of the book is to demonstrate the seriousness of purpose that underlines the work of What's the Story Collective and the Policing Dialogues. No one reading this book could doubt the authenticity of human experience and the determination to explore it that underpin all of the work. Nicola Mooney, the youth worker, refers at some stage to the seriousness you had and the care you gave. Well, that care is everywhere and in many domains. One of the reasons, amongst many, that the book is important is the care given to aesthetic concerns, to materials, to form, to the transformational possibilities that cultural experiences offer. There is, as you would want in a book about territory, a keen awareness of space, from Rialto to Vilnius, and from the van converted to a mini cinema to the triangles of seating arrangements for a range of encounters. At this point, I should draw to a close. I could go on for quite some time. I am enthused and engaged by this book, and I really urge you to buy it, and not just buy it, read it and share it. This book is distinctive, as Declan has already alluded to. This book is distinctive and it is important in the Irish context, but wider than that. But on page 130, Fiona writes, "Each aesthetic decision was considered in relation to creating the conditions for listening to occur. And in deference to your good selves, and especially those of you who've been here since 2 o'clock, perhaps the conditions here, while well-designed, are not so well-designed for listening at length." I began by referencing the beginning of the book, and I will end at its end. The best news of all about the work is at the very end of the book, page 244, it says in pink, and many of the important ideas in the book are highlighted in pink, it says, "To be continued." It's clear that Fiona Whelan has no wish to aggrandize her own position as the artist in this deeply collaborative and extended project. But nor does she want to betray her work or render herself invisible in it. When we go to a gallery or a concert or a theatre or a cinema, it's clear where the work of the artist is. Anyone who reads this book will be immeasurably clearer about where the work of a socially engaged artist lies, immeasurably clearer about what constitutes quality in such work, and immeasurably more convinced about how important for the arts and for society such work is. For that, and at least 10 other reasons, we are in Fiona Whelan's debt. Please join me in thanking her and all of her collaborators.